people. Welcome to it. Wednesday edition of the program. Stoke and Josh rocking with you 10 to 2 and appreciate y'all rocking with us right here on The Fan. We got a ton to get into. What a night it was for Denver sports fans last night. But Stoke, how you doing on a Wednesday?
Oh, I'm doing great.
How the elbows?
Wednesday, the elbows are better.
They are.
Yeah, the gout. I don't know if it's gout, man. I think it's like tendonitis or just, tightness in the forearms or something from just, throwing around a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gout. I just don't think it is. So we'll see. It's still a little sore, but better today than yesterday.
Okay.
So I'm feeling good. I don't know. It might have been the two W's we got last night with the Avs and the Nuggets. That helped me feel a little bit better this morning. So it was action-packed last night. That was great. Looking forward to tonight, obviously. We got the Masters tomorrow. A lot going on. The draft's right around the corner. So it's action-packed time. It's getting late here. Playoffs are right around the corner. A lot's at stake for the Avs and the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun last night. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm fired up. It was a great sports night. Watch both the Ball Arena Bros take care of business. Watch the Rockies drop in a game. And didn't really watch, but took some of it in. And then our Braves got a dub as well. So I was feeling real good last night. And in fact, let's start right there with the Avalanche. Let's start at Ball Arena, where they handled their business. You beat bad teams when you're a good one, and that's what the Colorado Avalanche did last night to the Minnesota Wild. I love saying the Avs beat the Wild. It's one of my favorite sports sayings. They did it because Nathan MacKinnon was a man on fire last night, Stoke. Seventh career hat trick, third time this season. Another multi-point game for Nate the Great. He showed the world, and on ESPN as well, why the Hart Trophy is coming home to Denver last night. That was impressive, man.
Yeah, it really was. And I think you hit it on the head there. I mean, he showed the world. It was on ESPN, primetime stage. And, I mean, that last goal that he made, it was like he just put it in, I don't know, sixth gear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It just, woo! And then there it was, and the hats rained down on the ice. Just a epic performance from MacKinnon,
mm-hmm.
and it never gets old. And looking at this Avs team, obviously, early on, they get out to the early lead, they give it up, and it's like, oh, here we go again. And then he just kind of takes over,
mm-hmm.
and that's what he does. That's what makes him so special, and you're absolutely right. Like, game's over for the Hart, MVP of the NHL. And I don't know how it's not going to happen now, where we have an MVP, two MVPs from the same city in the same year, be the second time ever, which is unbelievable, with MacKinnon and Jokic both winning MVP. But that was it right there. That was like the final nail in the coffin. Good win. Good overall win.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big question for us going into the game last night was the goalie.
Yeah.
Georgie, how are you going to do? And they get out to the early lead, and it's like, all right, let's hunker down, and this is going to be great. It's 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to run away from this team. The Wild stink. Next thing you know, 2-2.
Yeah, and that first goal that he gave up, I tweeted it out. I was trying to poke a little fun at our hockey guys and gals out there, and I said, is there any hockey experts out there that can tell me why it took Georgie 4.5 years to get back between the pipes while chasing the puck to the right there outside of the crease? And I got a few answers, right? I was trying to have some fun with it, but again, it's a win, but we're going to nitpick a little bit. At least I am here on that goal specifically. Like, I just don't understand. Stoke, I'm watching it, and he's, you know what he was doing? He was lollygagging. Doing a little bit of lollygagging out there outside of the crease.
And I'm
like,
lollygagging.
Hey, man, we're still going here. You have to get back to that spot. Like,
the clock is running.
You live in a 5-yard radius, and you were 8 yards away from that radius on that play. That's my one nitpick of the night from Georgie.
The two power play goals. Our power play has been awful.
Yes.
Defending. And it's just been terrible the last, I don't know what it's been, the last few games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be much better than that. So, but after those two goals, I mean, he settled in.
Yeah, he did.
But it didn't seem like there was no action for him.
Well, the defense in front of him was great for a change.
There was nothing going on. I mean, like, the third, it was just kind of real quiet.
They were playing the clock, it felt like, in the third.
Right, and there was no offense for Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no shots. So I don't know how you grade him, right? Because like you said, the defense was great.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, if you say, hey, man, he did what he had, what he needed to do. Or if you're like, if you nitpick it and you say, well, hey, I don't know, he didn't have a lot of action. He didn't have to do a whole lot because they were so good in front of him. But overall, for me, I think, hey, two thumbs up, good job. You gave up a couple early. And also, I didn't know if you knew this, but I got to give some credit to someone today.
Okay.
And I don't like doing this.
Nice.
This guy usually doesn't get a lot of credit because usually he's wrong.
Yeah.
That's Drew Spivak.
Oh, come on, Drew.
That's Drew Spivak.
Nice, Drew.
Drew, pop that mic, baby. Pop it. And because he's the one that told me yesterday, he's like, Georgie, under 2.5 goals allowed.
He did.
And so I did it. And after the first, I was texting.
Yeah, you were
nervous.
And I was,
well, yeah, because if he gives up one more in two periods, I lose.
Yeah.
And that wasn't like the ideal start I wanted to see when you have under 2.5. But you said it. Hey, he's just got to shut him down the rest of the game, and he did it. What'd you make of it, Drew?
I thought it was awesome, man. I mean, like Josh said, that first goal, give it up, being out of his crease the way he was, not great. But the defense wasn't great in front of him. Like, you got to help your goalie out at some point in time. But just the fact that, I mean, I think he only faced 8 shots on goal at 5-on-5. Kind of ridiculous performance from the defense there. But it was awesome to see Georgiev kind of rally last night against a team that, let's be honest, can't really score a lot of goals. They don't have a lot of talent outside of Kirill Kaprizov and guys like that. So it was good to see a nice bounce-back performance from Georgie.
There we go.
Yeah. He nailed it yesterday.
Yeah, good
he
job.
Nailed it.
Good job. And you forgot to text and remind me to take our team, the Braves, and the Avs, and that was going to be our parlay.
Yeah.
So I realized at the last second, okay, well, I got to find a new team for tonight. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I went with the Giants, who are a big favorite, and they lost tonight.
And they lost. Well, I actually, it's on me. I'll get my bad here, pat of the chest. I didn't remind you. But I had actually forgot until I saw Kevin's deal. And I'm like, oh, I got to get in on some of this as well. And then quickly made the decision there. So credit to Kevin for actually reminding the whole group.
And your parlay lost, of course.
It sure did.
Yeah. You just come up with the worst parlays ever. It doesn't matter if it's a 4-legger, a 5-legger, or a 2-leg parlay. You had McKinnon. You were all over that.
Nailed it.
Wow,
dude.
Yeah, great.
Nailed
over 1.5 points. We could have done over, 3.5 points and been fine there. And then you had Mittelstadt scoring a goal. And there we go. And
did he even get a shot on goal? Casey Mittelstadt. I don't believe he did.
Yes, he did get a shot on goal.
He got one. So that was it. Another losing parlay from you. But overall, man, a good win.
Yeah.
Good win.
That's right.
And hopefully keep it going. Got a big one coming up against Winnipeg.
Winnipeg on Saturday.
Saturday.
They're going to take on the Stars Thursday. It's actually a beautiful little week here, Stoke. Tonight's for the number one seed in the West, basically, between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. Saturday, well, not for the number one seed, but that thing's going to be for the number two overall seed in the Central, and who knows what the West looks like. So both of the Nuggets and the Avs, huge, huge games in their next outing. We're going to talk more about Nathan McKinnon. He got to over 50 goals last night. That's a huge number. Just, again, solidifies the fact that he will be bringing the Hart Trophy, the league's MVP, back home to Denver. We're going to get into more of that. We'll hear from Nathan later on in the show, but let's go to Utah. The Nuggets have struggled in Utah. Not last night. They were led by Joker and Jamal, and they got the win. So do we feel fine now about where they are and getting healthy ahead of the playoffs? We'll tell you how we feel next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
You've been throwing a lot of other things.
Get my money back.
Get that money back.
Can we bid on a chair? Like, I'd like to own that thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's auction that thing off for charity.
Right.
Right? It's all good. No one got hurt.
Yeah. I got a nice, cool 20 for that thing.
I can't believe his buddy threw that.
Yeah, he's got to tighten it up in the circle, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And you know what? He will.
Yeah,
he's a smart young man.
Yeah,
that's right. All right, you want to join the show, be a part of the conversation. We'd love to hear from you today. 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. You can watch the show over on Twitch and hang out in the chat room there. That's twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. Big night for the Avalanche, and the Nuggets did their part. They did it on the road, Stoke, where they hadn't won in Utah in 6 games. In fact, it only won 1 of the last 15 games.
That's unbelievable.
Going down
Michael
to
Malone
Utah.
Malone was 1-14.
Yeah.
Against the Jazz in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable.
And you know what his one win was, by the way?
Yeah,
that
I
magnificent
do.
Seven,
right?
That went down with only seven healthy players and got a dub over the Utah Jazz.
Crazy.
So yeah, I don't know why the Jazz aren't good. The flight's short. It's altitude. All that stuff. You should dominate, but that's what they did last night. And thanks to Nikola Jokic, thanks to Jamal Murray, both had 28 points. Jamal was a monster on the defensive end of the floor. Where the heck did that come from?
He was a monster everywhere.
That's true.
Dunking left and right. I mean, hitting, you know, I mean, he hit those three threes in a row. Mm-hmm. And yeah, defensively,
four blocks.
Unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. He was flat out awesome. Love to see that. You could see. You could see the things that I was talking about, why I wanted him on the court. Phil was talking about it yesterday. You got to get that conditioning up, right? And you can't really get that unless you're out there on the court doing it. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big positive for me. I mean, he played unbelievable. Jokic was a man child, obviously. A little careless with the basketball there.
Five turnovers,
a bunch. Mm-hmm. But overall, they got out. It was like varsity versus freshman. They got out the gate so fast. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to win by 40.
Yeah.
Give credit to Utah. They had so many guys out. They came to play and made it a close game, which is good. Perfect. The Nuggets had to fight and make some plays down the stretch to win it, which they did. Nice win. And now we get ready for tonight.
Yeah, tonight's the big one, obviously. We're going to touch on it. But, man, you're right. I think it was 23-6 at one point in the first quarter. And I'm like, oh, damn. I'm going to get to fully give my attention to the Avalanche by halftime here because it's going to be a beatdown. But, you know, the Nuggets do what the Nuggets have done.
That's the NBA, though.
Yeah,
overall,
you're right.
Overall, that's the NBA.
I think
usually.
It's human nature. Like, hey, if you're whatever it is you're doing, if you're dominating in some fashion, you're probably going to gear down as the game or the competition starts to wind down itself. And you know what else it is, Stoke? I thought about this a lot, and I've thought about it with the Nuggets facing inferior opponents. And with Utah last night, with 15 starters out, it felt like. Like, that's a group of young NBA players that go, all right, we know what the Nuggets are fighting for. We don't have really much to fight for. Let's try to ruin their evening, hurt their playoff chances. Like, a couple of games for a young NBA guy, and you're playing against the MVP and the reigning NBA champions. Of course, you bring the juice. You know,
that's what they should do. This is their time to shine.
Yeah.
When do these guys get? I mean, I heard of one of those guys, one of their starters, George, Keontae George.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, no one else, not one person. So, like, when do they get to play a lot? 30-plus minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
No.
So this is their time to go out there and do it. I mean, this is their showcase. This is their job, folks. They're going to bring it, right? They're not just going to lay down because the starters are out. No. This is their time, and they showed heart. So you're absolutely right. They got a good opportunity there to get extended minutes in an NBA game, and they fought. They fought hard. The Nuggets just too much, and Jamal was – just brilliant, man. He was flat out unbelievable. Jokic, little rusty there.
Yeah.
A little careless with the basketball. I could see him getting frustrated at times throughout the game. Felt like he should be getting a couple calls. Mm-hmm. It ended up being turnovers. Christian Brown. There we go.
How about that start?
I mean, right away, I'm like, dude, the shot looked a little bit different.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, right away.
His second three is like 5 feet behind the three-point line, and he cashed that thing.
I mean, if you can get anything resembling that outside shooting from him, that's what he's missing in his game, obviously. And 3-for-4 from three-point land, and 11 points. He was great early on. So if you can get that kind of production from him, shooting wise, because you look up there, man. I think it was you look up there in the third, and it's like Jokic, and then it's just four guys that can't shoot.
Yeah,
I'm not. It's just not like these guys can't shoot.
Yeah.
Like, who's gonna score if Jokic isn't shooting it? It's like, you know, Reggie Jackson. He's 1-for-6 from three.
Oof.
4-for-13 on the field. So it's just like there wasn't a lot there. Obviously, Peyton Watson's not a shooter, so. That's you need to get Aaron Gordon back. Mm-hmm. Need to get Jamal staggering with the second group too. And I'm sure it's, you know, the bench is going to be tightened up in the playoffs. But overall, nice job, W. Did what you had to do, take care of business, and that makes tonight's game even bigger.
Did what you have to do. That's exactly right. And Coach Malone talked about that. You beat the teams, like we said with the Avalanche, that you're supposed to beat at this point in the season.
I told our players, I asked them right before the game, I said, how many losses do you think we have to teams below 500? Somebody said 15, 18. I said, no, we have four.
And obviously one was to this very team, and three were to Houston. So we've done a great job all year long of beating the teams that on paper you're supposed to beat.
Hey, you know what? That's refreshing to hear, because we always think that, like, especially in the third quarter, right? Oh, the Nuggets gear down. They let teams hang around. All right, you might do that, but then the ability to turn it on in crunch time in the NBA, final 5 minutes with the game within 5 points, they're just so good in that mode that, yeah, when I heard that number, four, because I'm with the players there, like, and at least 8-10 that you've lost to 500 below 500 teams, and the answer is 4.
Well, I want to know what players guess 15 or 18. Right. They're not even close. Like, have y'all played this year? Like, do you know who you're playing? Like, I mean, that's not even close.
It was 15
or dang. Oh man,
I don't know.
I can guess the other person too, but I don't want to. I'm gonna be nice right now. I'm gonna be nice. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be mean like you. Yeah, but that's what you're supposed to do. That's what good teams do, right? You beat bad teams, and you dominated them. So, good win though overall. They came there to play, and that's what I love. Like, it was like Michael Malone. He's telling us.
Yeah,
he wants the number one seed.
That's right.
With his actions. I don't care about his words. With his actions, he's telling us he wants the number one seed. And they went about their business last night. They wanted to win that basketball game. Jamal played a lot. I mean, played a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously Jokic played a lot. Michael Porter. I mean, all the guys played a lot. They were trying to go out there. Who cares what Utah has on the court? How many starters are sitting, all that stuff. We're going to go out there to win this basketball game, and that's what they did.
Yep. You handle your business, and you're exactly right. They did that. I actually thought of you in a moment last night in the game. First half.
Someone made a three?
No.
Oh.
I was thinking about a hockey assist in the basketball world.
Oh,
because you don't like the secondary assist.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? I'd make an argument that the NBA should have that. And there was a moment. It was actually Christian Brown's 9th point after he makes a couple threes. It's a dunk on a transition play where Nikola gets the rebound underneath the basket, outlet pass to KCP at half court. And then KCP, to his credit, a beautiful bounce pass, like a little English on it to get it back in the hands of CB. And then CB threw that bad boy down. And I was like, you know what? Nikola made that happen.
That's right.
And he doesn't get any credit for it.
Stoke is
so wrong on this. That should be a secondary assist for Nikola Jokic.
Just for him.
Just for him.
That should be the rule. Yeah, you know, I'm grinding over the triple double last night, and I think we got screwed.
I think
the box score keeper dude in Utah screwed us.
Okay,
we're playing on the road. I could have swore at the end of the first he had 4 assists. I'm just like, yeah, okay, I think that's 4 assists right there. And then I looked at the box score and it said 2. I'm like, wait, what? Just 2?
Yeah.
I thought he had more than that. I thought he got 2, like, bam, bam. I know he's got the one to Christian Brown on the first 3-pointer. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I think we got shortchanged there a couple early on. I don't know what happened, but that's the way it felt to me. And he only ended up with, 7 assists, I believe
7,
it was.
Yeah.
It was really cool. The one moment that I thought was really cool was that dude, he got 3 offensive rebounds on the same play, right? Where it's one of those tips, hits the rim, comes right back to him, tips, hits the backboard rim, comes right back to him, grabs it, boom, and then makes it.
Yeah.
3 offensive rebounds. That was so awesome. It's like, that's how you get your stats up there.
Right.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, it's a nice little way to get some extra rebounds for you and still get the bucket. By the way, you mentioned Pat Stadden or Stat Padden with the Utah box score guy. You remember the story a year ago in Memphis? Jaren Jackson Jr., he ended up winning the Defensive Player of the Year, and he's a great defensive player. But there was a moment early in the NBA season last year, I don't think it got a lot of run, but that Jaren got taken off of ballots for Defensive Player of the Year because there was an investigation into the box score person at Memphis that they were padding his stats.
Wow.
So, it's not that crazy that that could be happening around there.
I mean, hey, hook a brother up, right?
You're the hometown guy.
Like, no, that was definitely a block. Let's put that. That's Jaren Steele. Yep. No, he's got 8 tonight. Oh, wow.
Right.
Okay.
All right, so Nuggets get it done, but the big one goes down tonight. 8 o'clock at Ball Arena with the Minnesota Timberwolves in town for a shot at the number one seed in the Western Conference.
Is it like in high school basketball where you have like scorekeepers from both sides? Do we have who's the Nuggets? Do they bring a scorekeeper with them also, like to double check that guy?
That's a good question.
You know
I don't
what I'm
know.
Saying?
Yeah.
Like, you got to hold somebody accountable because of that.
I'll ask somebody. I'll get the answer
Why?
For that. I'll get the answer for
if
that.
If not, like, one of us could volunteer and just, like, be that guy. Like, you just travel with the team and you're just the bookkeeper.
Right. I'll fly on the team plane and sleep in five-star hotels.
Too many games.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we split it. You do the ones you want and I'll do everything else.
I'm out.
Okay, I'll do them all.
Yeah, you got it all. Never mind. But I just wondered, like, you know, how that works. You got somebody for the Nuggets got to be keeping stats also. You got to double check.
I bet so. My man Dan Collins keeps stats down there. I'll ask him.
All right.
I'll get the info on that. We'll give you the answer when we return. Also, want to look back at the Rockies. They still have not won a series. Can do so with a win today. But it was actually a good night from Rockies pitchers. So what went wrong this time, we'll tell you next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Rockies lose 3-2 last night to the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're going to have the series finale for series number 2 with AZ starting up this afternoon. But, Soak, it was a little bit of the game that I watched. I gave them some of my attention until, you know, they had like 20, 25 minutes of attention before the Abs and Nuggets started. That was me.
You had me panicking. Yeah, my computer was doing it. You're screwing up over there.
That was me screwing
up. Okay, all right. Yeah. I didn't see you move.
Yeah, just
turn it off. Look how quick you are.
Right. Scared me, so I had to get to it quickly. But it was a night that pitching was good. Starting pitching from Cal Quantrill was really good. He had his best outing as a Rocky, his first one at Coors Field. And then even in relief and guys coming in from the bullpen really held their own and did what they had to do. But the Rockies just couldn't score any dang runs. Couldn't get any hits, literally. No hits with runners in scoring position. Another 0-for night from the bottom of the lineup, which we'll get to a little bit later on. It was just bad, man. They couldn't score any runs, but got good pitching. They're now minus 33 when it comes to run differential, and they're tied with Miami for the worst in Major League Baseball. They're giving up a ton of runs, and even when pitching is good, which it's been for a couple of games here now, they can't score any runs.
Yeah, you got to be able to score more than 3 at Coors Field.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the Avs. Like, all right, I mean, you can't expect to win if you're only scoring, you know, 2 goals or 2 runs in a game. So, nice job by Cal. I mean, 6 innings pitch, 3 earned runs.
Yeah.
So, he did his part. Take that all day, every day from the starting pitcher. So, you just got to find a way to score runs. It's hard to win baseball games if you don't score enough runs. And 2 runs at Coors Field probably isn't going to do it very many times. Ryan McMahon, nice job. Got himself another hit there, 1-for-4. That was good to see. But no one else really doing a whole lot offensively. So we'll see. We'll see if they can win the series. What do you think? How you feeling about them winning the series? What time is game time?
1:10, I believe, today.
So we're going to... While we're on air.
Yeah, we'll get some of that action today because, it is 1:10 today, and it's the final of this series. The Rockies will have Austin Gomber out, who was all right in that home opener for the Rocks. So, yeah, get a series win, and it would be the first of the season. And you know what I keep thinking about with these Rockies? Because I don't think they're going to win today. I don't think they win the series today.
No.
Do you?
No.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Why would I?
Yeah. So what the Rockies' schedule looks like, and I keep thinking about the Nuggets and Avs playoffs beginning on April 20th. Now, it's a bit of ways away, and the Rockies will go to Toronto, they'll go to Philly, then they'll come back home for a Seattle series, a Padres series, and during that Padres series, the NHL and NBA playoffs will start. I keep thinking to myself, who wins a series first? The Nuggets in the playoffs, the Avs in the playoffs, or the Rockies winning their first regular series regular season series of the entire year?
Yeah, I would say it's the Nuggets and the Avs are going to win it first if the Rockies don't do it today.
Okay.
This is their best opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a one-game series to win it all. I mean, to win the series. It's just one game. Now, you look at those other teams. I don't know what those other teams' records are.
Seattle's not very good. But
it's probably... Oh, that's perfect. My son told me to bet the over on them this year. Oh. Unbelievable. You can't make that up. You really can't make that up. And I did. Their win total. And they're not playing very well?
No, not at all.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's seriously. And I was looking last night. I was checking the open bets
mm-hmm.
on my sheet. and on my book, and so I was checking them out, right? Because I'm looking at my Jokic MVP. I'm like, okay, that's cash. Yeah. Ooh, that one is too. and then so I scrolled up. I was like, oh, I forgot I made this future bet here on the Mariners on their over win total. I wonder what it is. I'll check it at some other time. I wonder how they're doing. So thank you. I appreciate that. Unbelievable.
I mean, look, I don't know anything about Seattle. I just know what they're doing now, and it's not very good.
Yeah, awesome.
So you got a long ways to go, and it could turn around. So, yeah, I keep wondering that. Rockies fans, if you're out there, let us know. What do you think the answer is? The Rockies are going to have 1, 2, 3, 4 series to try to give it a go, and then they actually start a two-gamer with Houston when the Nuggets or Avs could wrap up their first round, could being the key term there. So how do you think it looks? How do you think it plays out between the two Ball Arena Bros and then what the Rocks are doing with not having won a series yet today? You know what I did see? I think this might be for the first time this entire Rocky season, albeit I know that it's early, but I saw a Rockies outfielder dive for a baseball. And make the catch.
No way.
Jake Cave, shout out
there
to you, my man.
All right.
Had a diving catch.
Party time.
And that thing ended up in his mitt.
Wow.
Baby steps, though.
Wait. It didn't go to the fence?
No.
Didn't get by him and go to the fence?
Didn't bounce over him, didn't roll under him, nothing.
He actually caught it.
He caught the ball.
For now.
And dove.
And held on to
and
it.
And held on to it.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
That's right.
I love it.
Things are turning around, man.
Things are turning around, Josh.
Every time I see Jake Cave, though, I'm like, man, that guy hates his life. Remember, he was the one that got traded from Philly on the last
day. Oh, that was him.
And he's like, yeah, you know, it is what it is. I was on a World Series contender, and now here I am with a Rockies shirt on.
You can't make that up. I mean, it is depressing. Yeah. That is depressing. And then, you know, and now you're 3-9.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That happened like a few days before the season started.
Yeah, the last day of training camp.
Yeah, so that's
spring training, whatever they call it.
Yeah, so that's poor guy. Hey, at least you got more sunshine here. This is a better place to live.
That's right.
What's his first name?
Jake,
this is a much better place to live than Philly. I can promise you that.
We're much nicer as a people, too. Like, you're on the Rockies, but still, like, walking around the streets of downtown Denver.
Yeah, not downtown. Just stay, like, in. Oh, okay. Just come out a little bit further south.
But man, nobody's going to, you know.
Just not downtown. Because our downtown, we don't have nothing to brag about around
these
places. No, that's
true. But you know what I mean? Like, in Philly, if he's struggling and he's walking around town, Philly's fans are going to let him hear it.
Exactly.
He's walking around town in Denver or up in North Glen, he probably goes to hang out. You know, people are just like, oh, there's a nice guy having a beer or a cheeseburger.
Right.
And they don't really know who he is.
No clue.
Yeah, absolutely. No clue. So, shout out to you, Jake. Really appreciate you diving and actually catching a baseball. Baby steps for these Colorado Rockies. All right, I got a question for you. I asked you guys on off air. I think it could be fun for on air. The Masters, little par 3 round is going on today.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the golfers, the caddies, the families are all there. This is a fun day out at Augusta. Do you think I could beat any of the golfers' children at golf?
Not if they're over 5.
Okay.
Any of the kids over 5, no. I don't think you have a chance.
We did watch one kid. What did that kid look, 6 or 7? And his drive was way better than anything I got going on.
Yeah, some of those kids can hit it, huh?
Yeah, when do they start golfing?
Yeah, right. Probably when they're old enough to hold a plastic club in their hand.
Just those little
little
fake ones that you're hitting the golf ball into the kitchen and all that stuff from the living room.
Yeah, but I like the par 3. It's fun. You know, you got your wife or your girlfriend or your, you know, you can have whoever you want caddy for you in the event. If you got kids, you got the kids running around, they're putting on the green and stuff like that. So it's a cool deal. And you'll see some cool shots. They'll skip a couple ones
off
the water. You'll see a few hole-in-ones. And it's go time tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love it. I hope our local guy here, Wyndham Clark, I think this is his first Masters. So I hope he goes out there and plays well. That'd be a lot of fun.
That would be.
He's playing some good golf right now. So hopefully he can do that. And, you know, this is kind of one of those tournaments because it's a major where you have the live guys playing with the regular guys. So the field is strong.
Yeah. How is it at cards?
At cards?
Yeah.
Eh, not as good as me.
Okay, that's what I thought. Have you ever tried to skip a golf ball off the water? Like over, you know?
Not on purpose. Oh. Not on purpose.
But it's worked for you before.
Yeah, a few times.
I've always wanted to try it, but, you know, it's it would ultimately just sink right into the gut water is upon impact. So next time I hit it in water, I'm going to be like, no, I was trying to skip it, dude.
Yeah, right. Trick shot.
Right. Thought we were playing horse out here. All right, we'll talk a little bit more about the major that is starting tomorrow at Augusta. Talk about some of the food and some fun stuff with Tiger being involved in this year's Masters. All right, Mel Kiper Jr., he's got his latest mock out, and he has the Broncos not taking a quarterback with their first pick, not moving back to get a quarterback. In fact, they don't land a quarterback in Mel's mock draft. Why? We'll tell you next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft is out. I imagine he's going to do a couple more of these before Thursday's April 25th draft starts for the NFL. But the latest is out as of this morning, and Stokey has the Broncos doing something I think would have a lot of Broncos fans scratching their heads, upset, maybe even angry with this decision. So what Mel Kiper Jr. has the Broncos doing is selecting, not trading up, you stay right at 12, and you select a cornerback. Cornerback Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo is the pick, not Terrion Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama. There's a couple of other guys that have been mocked in these top 10 to 20 ranges. And Quinyon Mitchell, I believe, is the cornerback from Toledo that just got officially cleared, was dealing with an injury and recovering and rehabbing from an injury. But that is what Mel Kiper Jr. has the Broncos picking.
Kind of injury. What? Like what?
I'll find out.
We're going to draft a guy at 12 that just got cleared from an injury? I'm out. There you go. But go ahead.
I mean, look, he's a cornerback. You could have saved the name, the time, the injury, the college. He's a cornerback. And if you picked that at 12, I am angry. I am upset. I am confused. I don't know what to do with my hands. Why in the world would they select a cornerback with their first pick in the 2024 NFL draft?
That ain't happening. Nope. Not happening. I agree with you there. Like, you could pick a lot of players, and I would be A-okay with it. Cornerback? Ah, man, I wouldn't be happy. Now, hopefully it turns out to be, Deion Sanders 2.0.
Sure.
But, man, like, we got a really good one right now. Don't we need some other positions?
Mm-hmm.
Good players, right? I mean, we can't beat anybody. Like, we got five great cornerbacks. Who's going to throw it? He's going to throw the ball for us. Do we have anybody to catch it? Do we have a tight end? I mean, like, what do we – can we have a tackle? I don't know any position, but not cornerback or guard. Cornerback or guard or center. I mean, I just can't – I can't see that happening. I would say I would be shocked and floored if that turns out to be the case. I don't think they're doing that at all.
And I just don't understand where Mel would even think this is the right play. And in his mock, to Mel Kiper's credit, I guess, he does say, hey, I've had Bo Nix at this spot. I really considered just doing it again. But Mel's words, I don't have a first-round grade on Bo Nix, so therefore I'm not having him selected in the first round.
Okay.
That's his reasoning of it. He's not worthy of a 12th overall pick, and he says that the Broncos won't reach to go do it. Now, this is where you and I are disagreeing there, that it does feel like a reach. And I don't think I'm ever going to come off of that with Bo Nix, but he's a quarterback. And that matters more than anything in the world. So if you're reaching for somebody, that dude better have QB next to his name.
Yeah, well, like, hey, I mean, that's Mel's opinion.
Yeah, that's
right?
Like your opinion, man.
Right, that's his opinion that Bo Nix is a reach. That's your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
What is Sean Payton and George Payton's opinion of Bo Nix? They might think he's a top 10 quarterback, right? I mean, I've heard a lot of people very high on Bo Nix. So everyone has difference of opinions here, right? And then that's gonna be for a lot of these players, where some people think he's a late first-round pick, an early second-round pick. We've heard the same stuff about Michael Penix Jr. Some people love these guys. Some people don't. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
So who's saying it's a reach? Right? Mel Kiper? All right. But you know, that might not be how Sean and George Payton feel about it. They might feel like they get great value for Bo Nix. He might be their third quarterback on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So just because some people think it's a reach, that's not the end all be all, right?
No, not at all.
Especially if it's you.
Well, I mean, my opinions are pretty solid, but Mel Kiper Jr., I don't know. He's only been doing it for 45
right,
years.
Right.
I've been doing it for 13, right? But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's also the conversation that we've had before of there's a quarterback draft list, and then there's everybody else on the draft list. So Mel calls him a second-round pick. I don't have much to push back there, but again, it's a completely different order because of the position that he plays.
Yeah.
And the need that not every, but 20 NFL teams have at the quarterback spot.
Exactly. And we just can't take a cornerback. I'm with you on that. I just, that would be a real bummer if it works out that way. So got a lot of needs on this roster, and this roster needs a lot of help. Though, like our best player plays cornerback,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't need to add another one to it. And I get it. You play with two or three cornerbacks on the field, but man, they're so, look, I'll tell you this. I told you I'd be shocked if they take a cornerback. I would be shocked if they don't take an offensive player.
Same.
In the first round. Mm-hmm. I think they're going offense, heavy, heavy offense. You think Sean Payton came here to watch what he watched last year and to coach what he coached last year? Come on. Think about it, folks. Think about it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is Sean Payton an offensive coach or a defensive coach?
He likes the offensive side.
He likes the offensive side. Has he had a lot of success coaching offensive football in the NFL?
Yeah, he has, to the highest level, actually.
Exactly. And a lot of records that they had there, him and Drew Brees, they had a lot of success down there, throwing the ball, running the ball. Like, and then he comes here, and we saw it last year. That was what he had to deal with. It was awful. And so, yeah, like, he's not going to just go, oh, yeah, we're just going to go heavy defense here.
Mm-hmm.
No, come on. Is Sean Payton getting any younger?
No, he's not.
No. Does Sean Payton want to wait for 3 years to see good offensive football?
Hell no.
No. They're going offense.
Yes.
Telling you. Offense.
Are.
Offense, a heavy draft.
And you know what? I was thinking about this more with Mel's mock here of taking a cornerback at number 12. And then what Mel has is the Giants trading back up for 33, first pick in round 2, and they take Bo Nix.
Wow.
Then he has the Rams making a trade with the Chargers in the same round here, just a few picks back. And they take Michael Penix Jr. So you're now watching the second round go on without a pick if you're the Broncos, and both of the top six quarterbacks are gone. So you get on the clock at pick 76 in the third round, and your options are Michael Pratt, Spencer Rattler, Milton, I think the kid from Tennessee. Like, that's it. That's all your options would be. And that's definitely feels like a reach in the third round for one of those dudes.
Yeah. And that wouldn't be ideal, obviously. You'd like to get you one early. Not saying those other guys can't work out, you know, if it's a third rounder there. But you need to walk away from this draft with a quarterback. And hopefully it's not like a, you know, a seventh rounder.
Yeah, right.
But I don't see it playing out that way. I mean, come on, Mel. What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, really? You think only four quarterbacks are going in the first round?
No.
I think six.
I think six.
I think six are going in the first round. So, we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. But I don't think Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. are dropping all the way to the the second round. They could, and that might be good news for the Broncos if they do. If they don't select one of those guys early,
yeah, then it becomes a race to the top of the second round, like we talked about with the Giants and what the Rams did to go get those guys. But in the second round, not going to cost as much. Maybe you are in the. At least in the conversation of making a trade up there and doing so. Quick text here on the RamosLaw.com text line. This might have to stick. This texter might be onto something here from the 257. Stoke fighting the good fight. It's time for us all to become believers. Believers.
Oh.
That's not bad, right?
Right.
It's time to believe in Bo Nix. Would that be the t-shirt?
Yeah.
That's not a bad little saying, huh?
Race to the patent office.
That's right.
Right?
Someone already has it, I'm sure. I'm sure Bo Nix Camp has trademarked believe.
I don't know about that.
All right, you want to make some phone calls here?
Yeah, during the break.
Yeah.
We'll get that thing, get the ball rolling on that.
We'll come back
and you.
We'll be wearing the shirts.
Right. I love it.
It's time to believe. Nice work, Texas.
Let's do it. I mean, I would love a first-round quarterback. It's fun. It's entertaining. We need a quarterback. I want some hope. I want some optimism. I would be happy with Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with dropping back a little bit, getting more picks, and then finding a quarterback there a little bit later if you can. That would be great. That would be ideal. So it's going to be exciting. We don't know where Sean is, right?
No.
Ultimately, it's going to be his decision. But like I said, What do you think? You think he's going defense? Come on. I mean, look, he's an offensive guy.
Yeah.
He wants his offense to be successful. That's what he's done. That's what he's done his whole career. So, I mean, you just put the clues together and it says, all right, that pick's going to be offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, George Payton ain't making those picks anymore.
No.
It's Sean.
No,
and Sean
no,
ain't
no.
picking a cornerback.
I think the only question is George allowed in the room?
Yeah, or in the valley after the draft is over.
Oh, gosh.
All right, we'll get back to that. We'll reset some of that conversation and talk about what it would look like with a quarterback later in the draft if Mel's mock comes true. But Nathan MacKinnon, he carried the Avs to victory last night. A hat trick before the third period. So the question is, has he already done enough to bring home the Hart Trophy? We'll answer that and we'll hear from Nate next.